Pet Life Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Master Pet Chef Mickey Voisard. Hey, thanks for joining us. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about natural food to feed your pet during the hot summer months. The food I'll be telling you about can be shared with yourself and your kids and your pets. It will help to keep your pets hydrated without overtaxing their digestive system. So we're going to get into some really great foods that you're very familiar with and you'll have a good time with, and they're cheap. So we'll be right back with the Pet Chef.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hey, ready to take a walk? Not just you, but the whole family. It's the 2009 Whisker Walk, Sunday, June 7th from 11 to 3 at the Lancaster Fairground in Lancaster, Massachusetts. Pet owners and animal lovers walk to lend a paw to benefit the animal shelters and pet charities they love. Come see exhibits, demonstrations, educational programs, special attractions, product giveaways, entertainment, auctions, raffles, food, fun, and things for adults and kids to see, do, and buy, both human and pet-related. Whisker Walk 2009, a fun day for everyone. For more information, log on to whiskerwalk.org.
Got questions about your hound's health? Need the facts on Fido's fitness or food? You want to unleash your pup's potential? Well, you've come to the right place with Win with Dogs. Here, we learn how easy it is to naturally improve the lives of our furry friends. So sit, stay, and get ready to Win with Dogs. With me, Raquel Win. Exercise, nutrition, interaction, and love make for one healthy, happy hound. Give yourself the gift of knowledge, on demand, every week, right here at Pet Life Radio with me, Raquel Win, and Win with Dogs.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. So, hey, it's warming up, at least here in Arizona, and it'll be warming up wherever you are soon. And pretty soon we're going to be shopping at the farmer's market, I hope. But what I always look forward to is getting people to change their ways of food from the winter to the summer. And one of those ways is, what we don't want to do is overtax the digestive system, particularly in the summer months. With all the dehydration that goes on, being out in the sun a lot, and our dogs are no exception, they sweat a lot more than we do, or they have to pant and sweat a lot more, and they deplete a lot of their vitamins and minerals, particularly potassium and vitamin C. And so those are things that we have to pay close attention to. And number one, I hope that you are exercising your dog. That's what dogs are good for, too, is to get you out. And I hope you're doing it at least twice a day. But you're going to have to do it a lot earlier once the summer months come around, and walk a lot later. And please don't exercise your dog during the middle of the day or once the sun is up fully, because that's kind of like you running with a sleeping bag on. They have very little way outside of panting and releasing the sweat through their paws. Do they have a way to sweat? They don't have pores like we have pores. So please pay attention to that. And a really fun way to help out with your dog in the mid-afternoon is giving a somewhat of a treat is ice cubes. You know, ice cubes are really great for that, particularly puppies. They like to play with them, but I fill all my dog's bowls. We have about 3 bowls around here, and I fill them all up with ice cubes. And it keeps the water cool, but at the same time, they seem to be more intrigued with it. And another way to deal with ice cubes is to make ice cubes out of chicken broth. So you're giving them a little nutrition. I do hope that you would make the chicken broth yourself, which is pretty simple. All you have to do is add some chicken thighs into some water in a stock pot and bring that to a boil and then allow that to simmer for about a half an hour. And you've created a broth. And then you can freeze that into a little ice cube trays, and they make great treats for your dog, and it also adds a little bit of sodium to their system during the hot months. Cats enjoy that. I have 2 cats, and they go out to their cattery, and I give them ice cubes full of chicken broth in their water dish, and be sure to clean their water dishes. I go to people's houses, and I'm absolutely amazed that people don't clean their dog's water dishes. How would you like drinking out of a glass that is full of all kinds of junk where the dog dropped into from their saliva into the dish? So at least clean it out once a day. I mean, you know, kind of let's get real here. So the other thing that you might want to give your pet is an olive or two a day. I did an earlier podcast on olives and where I went to the Tubac Olive Company, which is here in my hometown. So I'm not going to expound on olives too much. You can relive that experience by going to my podcast. But olives are really good. They have a wonderful kind of fat in them that is not bad fat. It's actually good fat. But it's also, olives are composed of a lot of water. We want to shoot for a lot of food that has more water in it. I do that all the time, 12 months out of the year, but it's particularly most important in the summer months. And certain kind of veggies like zucchini and yellow squash. You know, a lot of people that grow their own gardens always have an excess amount of zucchini. People by the end of the summer are leaving them at your front door and trying to give them away. And so share some of those with your dog. You can put those into some boiling water and just bring it slightly to a boil or steam them and put it into their, chop it up and put it into their food or grate it. I prefer grating it so they don't pick it out. And also you can take a slice of zucchini and put some cream cheese on it or hummus or something like that. And your dog, you can share a mid-afternoon snack with them in the same way. So don't forget those things. Veggies are very important. We don't want to overdo it with veggies, but at least one a day is really important for their digestive system and the fiber and the water content in those particular veggies. A brief idea on commercial dog food in the summer months. I don't want to overexpound on this because you can go to other previous podcasts that I've had talking about commercial dog food, but please read the first 5 ingredients and make sure that there's no corn or wheat or soy or gluten or byproducts in your first 5 ingredients or even in the rest of the ingredients. And if there are, there's plenty of other commercial dog foods out there that are better than that kind of quality. But one thing about commercial dog food is if that's all your dog is getting and it is not getting anything natural, anything that has a lot of high amount of enzymes to help them digest, their digestive system is getting overloaded. And particularly in the summer months, we have a problem that's called bloat. Because a lot of dogs cannot properly digest everything. They go out to run or take a long walk or they play with another dog. And it creates bloat because you've got this big amount of food just sitting in the stomach and the stomach is having a hard time digesting it. So this is where I like to feed a dog. If you are going to do commercial dog food, even if you are feeding your dog naturally and you still want to supplement with some commercial dog food, please do it in the times when later on in the day when there's less activity and don't overload it. You want to do less commercial dog food and more of the natural foods, particularly in the summer, because commercial dog food is in need of creating a lot more water. And so dogs that are strictly eating commercial dog food have to drink a lot of water to supplement for that digestive intake. So when you're feeding your dog foods in the summer that have a lot of water content, it's better for their digestive system and does not overtax them. I see dogs that are real young dogs, 1 or 2 years old, and they're already experiencing problems with their digestive system. And I tell my clients, you know, by the time this dog gets to be about 3 or 4 years old, you're going to have some heavy-duty vet bills. And so now's the time for them to change, and now's the time for you to change, particularly in the summer. So we'll be right back with the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio, and we'll talk about a couple other foods that you'll enjoy sharing with your children and your pets. So we'll be right back with the Pet Chef.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at petplanetmagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No. To my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. So because it is warming up, you're going to be seeing a lot of melons, particularly cantaloupe and watermelon. Cantaloupe is one of those grapefruits that have a huge amount of nutritional content. And a cantaloupe is quite deceiving, really, because Mother Nature seems to do this thing. She has a way of putting her best in the simple things. And nothing's more simple looking than a cantaloupe, but it's very deceiving because it has a ton of nutritional value to it. Number one, cantaloupe is low in calories. So if your dog needs to shed a few pounds and he acts hungry all of the time, you might share a few pieces of cantaloupe with him. Just cut off, you know, like an inch by an inch piece and see if he'll eat it just like it is. The other thing about cantaloupe is it contains a significant amount of biotin, and a half a cantaloupe is 300% richer in this nutrient than an orange. That's pretty amazing, 300%. So it also has a tremendous amount of vitamin C and folic acid, and it is very easy to digest and does not overtax the digestive system. That's what we were talking about earlier. For the summer months, I hope you take time to pay attention to this, that it's better to give your dog smaller amounts of food so he can digest it than giving him a big lump sum of heavy commercial dog food kibble or something. That's just going to overtax their digestive system. Now, some people tell me, oh, that's great, cantaloupe, but I don't know how to find out if it's ripe. So I'm going to tell you, to detect a ripe cantaloupe in the store or preferably at the farmer's market, first smell it. And if it smells sweet, then it's ripe. And then if it smells musty, then it's overripe and it's possibly moldy. So the best place to smell it is put your nose at the bare end where the vine was attached. That's pretty easy to see. It's the bottom, kind of the bottom end, and the vine is snapped off. And just stick your nose there, and that will give you a very good whiff of sweetness. Or if it's moldy, it's going to smell kind of musty. So you don't want it if it's musty. And also look for a more orangey color. you can also detect it by the firmness. Sometimes when you're touching a cantaloupe, the firmness is a real big giveaway. If it gives slightly, you just want a slight push into the crown of it, it's ripe. If it's really kind of soggy, you know, you push on it and your finger kind of pushes in quite a ways, then, hey, that's overripe. Leave that for something else. And if it doesn't give at all, then it's not ripe yet. You know, it's too green. And you'll also see it has more of a green texture to it, a green color. And you want more of an orangey look. And that's just the perfect thing. So all three of those things together will pretty much tell you a ripe cantaloupe. Now, summer cantaloupes are the best, since if you buy cantaloupes, you could buy them all year round. But if you buy them in the winter ones are stored from the previous summer. So they're not as good as the ones that are going to get like this coming summer or this spring right now. So the other thing that people forget is that you need to wash the whole cantaloupe on the outside before you're slicing it open, because it grows on a vine and it lays on the ground naturally, and the outside part is where you can get bacteria. So the best way to do that is if you got some unfiltered, that's an important word, unfiltered apple cider vinegar, and you take about one part apple cider vinegar to two parts water, and then just wash the cantaloupe in that solution, and that'll cut off any kind of bacteria that might come. But I rarely see anybody cleaning the outside of the cantaloupe before they slice it, and that's very, very important. So how do you feed your dog cantaloupe? Well, I recommend adding a small dab of cream cheese on a 1-inch square of cantaloupe, or you can mash it up a small amount and put it in with boiled chicken and water, or you can take a cheese grater and take that cantaloupe and kind of grate it over the cheese grater, and it'll kind of turn into a lot of liquid, but that's okay. That's what we want. And we want to make it a little mushy and put it into the chicken and the chicken broth after you've gone through the boiling and you're letting it cool down. And the dog will end up eating the cantaloupe. It might take away some of the natural nutrients in there, but yeah, at least they're getting the cantaloupe in if they're kind of finicky. I find that most dogs that have been on a pretty much of a commercial dog food diet are ready to eat anything that you give them. So cantaloupe is pretty much something they will eat. Now, don't forget, there's a great amount of potassium in cantaloupe, and that works wonders for dogs with health problems and for your cat. My dogs really enjoy cantaloupe, except that sometimes they get a little finicky about it and they just play with it. But the cats basically play with it, and I know they get some on their paws. And so the idea is for them to get a little bit of nutrients. You don't have to be overwhelming your animals with these particular foods that I'm talking about. One or two extra little things a day is really adequate. Our next favorite thing is watermelon. That's really big, obviously, in the summertime, and we're going to be seeing watermelon all over the place. Here's an interesting tip about all melons, not just watermelon, that you can share with your friends as you're sitting around the table on a hot summer day, sharing a watermelon or any kind of melon like a cantaloupe. You know, all melons are technically vegetables, you know, and on second thought, you might wait until your kids are out of earshot. Because if they find out they are enjoying a vegetable instead of a fruit, they may look at the melon in a negative light. But your dog won't care. Your dog will like watermelon just as much as he likes anything else. But truly, melons grow from vines, and vines yield vegetables, while trees and shrubs yield fruits. So basically, all melons are technically considered to be vegetables, but we call them the fruit of the vine, so I guess you could still call them a fruit. But watermelon contains unique compounds which dramatically increase urine flow. So if your dog is kind of retaining water and maybe has a lot of inflammation, it's a hint here. There's a hint here that watermelon might be the thing that you start giving him. And yourself. Watermelon also contains somewhat of a type of coolant, which helps combat heat exhaustion. and it has huge amounts of lycopene, just kind of like it's second to a tomato. A tomato has a tremendous amount of lycopene, which gives it its red color, and that's the same for a watermelon. That reddish meat color inside of the watermelon actually comes from the lycopene. And the more red, you can see a big difference between a store-bought watermelon and an organic farmer's market watermelon. If you open up the inside, there's a tremendous difference in the color, in the variation of the color, because the farmer's market organic one is going to be a lot redder. That's where you're going to be seeing where your money is spent. So it's also like the cantaloupe, it's high in biotin and vitamin C, and also beta carotene, folic acid, potassium, magnesium. You know, so you're spending, people I see are spending tremendous amount of money for vitamin supplements, when you can just get all the same thing and better from a real food. If you're just giving a small amount of watermelon or cantaloupe to your pets every day, just a small amount will give them more than the equivalent of what you're paying $25 for with some vitamin supplements. I don't quite get it, but you know, watermelon is about 90% water, maybe more than that. And so it's super for dehydration. And I have used watermelon on dogs that we have found in the desert that were abandoned stray dogs, and they probably didn't eat for several days. And it's very dangerous to take a dog that's been out there forever, not eating for long periods of time, particularly found in the desert, and then pump them with dog food. That's like a good chance you can kill them right there. And so the best thing to do is put them on watermelon juice for the first day of feeding, or day or two, depending on how sick the animal looks. It doesn't overload the stomach, which has shrunk from the lack of food and dehydration, and it gets the blood flowing normally to prepare the dog for better assimilation of the nutrients in the following days when you start giving it real food. So here's also some tips for buying a watermelon. It's a little bit different than looking for a ripe cantaloupe. You use the sound technique and you hit it with your middle knuckle. If it makes a real dull noise, kind of like a thud, that means it's ripe. And if it's a sharp noise or resonates, it's too green. So a thud sound, the sound that you want to get from if it sounds ripe, is like hitting the leather heel of an old shoe. It really is kind of this dull, kind of thuddy sound, and so that means that it's ripe. Also, flip it over and look underneath the melon, and if it's yellow or a cream-colored, kind of like the cantaloupe, it's probably ripe. And the end where the vine, once again, we're looking for where the vine was attached, that should be shriveled and brown and kind of crusty. You want that to make it look to be ripe. And don't forget, you need to eat the watermelon seeds and feed those to your dogs if you can find such a thing anymore. I mean, my gosh, we have destroyed this perfect food by removing the seeds, because somebody said there was a myth out there a long time ago that said if you eat the seeds, a watermelon will grow in your abdomen. I mean, come on. My gosh, people will make anything up to avoid eating real food. But the thing about watermelon seeds is they are rich in many nutrients. So you're getting rid of all the nutrients. But they also contain a substance which helps to eradicate intestinal parasites. Wow, isn't that a great concept? Something that is natural that you can give to your animal, your pet, and it will remove the worms without taking all these heavy-duty worm drugs. So let's shoot for those watermelons that have the seeds. Probably the only place you can find those now is at the farmer's market. So be sure to go there. So, you know, a few pieces a day of watermelons, particularly in the summer, given to your dog will be sufficient. Just a couple 1-inch square pieces, because watermelon is an alkaline food, so we don't want to overdo it, because basically your dog's stomach is acid, so that gives a really good balance to it. And I give my dogs the whole thing, including the rind, and most of the time they eat the red meat part, and then they chew slightly on the rind, and then they bury it. And then a few days later, the rind shows up again and again and again, and that's okay, because that lets them rediscover that wild side of them. So if your dog has experienced a bit of heat stroke, like you took them out too late in the morning or something, or, you know, you were in the car and they were sitting in the sun, which I hope is not going to happen to your dog, take a ripe chunk of watermelon and crush the meat as best that you can, trying to retain the liquid. You want to get the liquid out of that meat. And if you had to squeeze it with your hands, you could do it. And then you either syringe the liquid into your dog's mouth from the side, or you pour it in with a small cup. And that will act as an electrolyte, and it'll provide much of the needed potassium and vitamin C, which is lost in sweat. That's where dehydration starts, is when you start losing the potassium and the vitamin C. So I hope that you take advantage of these things that I suggested, because they not only are very significant amounts of nutrients, but they're cheap. They're very inexpensive. It keeps your dogs hydrated, and it gives them some calories and also some added nutrients, which you don't have to buy through supplements. So, you know what? We're out of time, and I want to thank our producers for making this show possible. And you can go to my website at dogchefdetective.com or dogchefs.com. And if you'd like transcripts of this or any of the other great programs on Pet Life Radio Network, go to petliferadio.com and click on the Pet Chef. You can also send me your comments or questions to Mickey, M-I-C-K-I, at PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, bon appetit.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.